Good morning. I'm Rachel, and this is my co-host,
Sonia.
And this is Israel is Real. We are two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel and telling the story of ordinary people loving, supporting, and living in an extraordinary land. Israel is real. Boker tov lekol ha'mazinim.
Tzoraim tovim b'Yisrael.
Shalom to all our listeners from WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. We're a community-supported program. We're on the air because you love Israel and you love what we're doing in support of Israel. So please keep the donations coming. Your donations keep us alive, keep us on the air. You can also hear archived shows at www.israelisreal.weebly.com, israelisreal.weebly.com. And we are opening up the phone lines today, taking a big chance. So if you're out there listening and you have some questions for us, please call in. I'll give you the number in a minute. I just want to remind you to call us at, you can also email us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com, israelisreal1590@gmail.com. We're going to take a moment for a word from our sponsors.
Vision. Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know Israel, it's approximately about the size of New Jersey? To receive Vision's emails alert and be informed about Vision's educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision's website, www.newhampshireforisrael.org. That's www.nh4israel.org.
Like I said, today, you know, we've been blessed on Israel is Real. We've really been on the air for, this is the end of our second month, and we have been blessed to have the most incredible, amazing
opportunity,
but also guests. We've had wonderful guests for 2 months now. Today is the first day that we have just Rachel and Sonia to speak with you today. So we're going to give you an opportunity to call us if you feel like it again. So the number is 603-816-1590, 603-816-1590. Before we start and we get into getting to know a little bit more about Rachel and Sonia, our amazing guests today, I'd like to read to you a letter. It's called An Open Letter to the World, and it was written in 1969 by Mr. Stanley Goldfoot. On November 24th, 2006, at the age of 92, a man named Stanley Goldfoot passed away. He is remembered by family and friends for his love for and devotion to Israel and the Jewish people. He was born in Johannesburg, South Africa, and subsequent to hearing a speech about Zionism and the Zionistic vision by Ze'ev Jabotinsky at the time, he headed for what was then called Palestine, where at the age of 18, he joined HaShomer HaTzair Kibbutz. And after the rebirth of the Jewish state in 1948, his main goal, which he eventually realized, was to establish a Zionist English newspaper, which he called the Times of Israel. And this was a letter that he published in the first issue of the Times for Israel. And he wrote a rather, at the time, controversial letter to the world from Jerusalem, which then caused quite a stir, and
Today it will be also controversial. Not a question about.
Definitely it will be controversial because things haven't changed much since then, except that Israel has become a very modern state and country. So I'm going to read you this, and it goes like this. I am not a creature from another planet, as you seem to believe. I am a Jerusalemite like yourselves, a man of flesh and blood. I am a citizen of my city, an integral part of my people. I have a few things to get off my chest. Because I am not a diplomat, I do not have to mince words. I do not have to please you or even persuade you. I owe you nothing. You did not build this city. You did not live in it. You did not defend it when they came to destroy it. And we will be damned if we will let you take it away. There was a Jerusalem before there was a New York, when Berlin, Moscow, London, and Paris were just a miasmal forest and swamp, there was a thriving Jewish community here. It gave something to the world which you nations have rejected ever since you established yourselves a humane moral code. Here the prophets walked, their words flashing like forked lightning. Here people who wanted nothing more than to be left alone fought off waves of heathen would-be conquerors, bled and died on the battlements, hurled themselves into the flames of their burning temple rather than surrender, and when finally overwhelmed by sheer numbers and led away into captivity, swore that before they forgot Jerusalem, they would see their tongues cleave to their palates, their right arms wither. For two pain-filled millennia, while we were your unwelcome guests, we prayed daily to return to this city. Three times a day we petitioned the Almighty, gather us from the four corners of the world, bring us upright to your land, return in mercy to Jerusalem, thy city, and swell in it as thou promised. On every Yom Kippur and Pesach, Passover, we fervently voiced the hope that next year would find us in Jerusalem. Your inquisitions, pogroms, expulsions, the ghettos into which you jammed us, your forced baptisms, your quota systems, your genteel anti-Semitism, and the final unspeakable horror, the Holocaust, and worse, your terrifying disinterest in it, all these have not broken us. They may have sapped what little moral strength you still possessed, but they forged us into steel. Do you think that you can break us now after all that we have been through? Do you really believe that after Dachau and Auschwitz, we are frightened by your threats of blockades and sanctions? We have been to hell and back, a hell of your making. What more could you possibly have in your arsenal that could scare us? I have watched this city bombarded twice by nations calling themselves civilized. In 1948, while you looked on apathetically, I saw women and children blown to smithereens after we agreed to your request to internationalize the city. It was a deadly combination that did the job. British officers, Arab gunners, and American-made cannon. And then the savage sacking of the old city, the willful slaughter, the wanton destruction of every synagogue and religious school, the desecration of Jewish cemeteries, the sale by a ghoulish government of tombstones for building materials, for poultry runs, army camps, and even latrines. And you never said a word. You never breathed the slightest protest when the Jordanians shut off the holiest of our places, the Western Wall, in violation of the pledges they had made after the war, a war they waged, incidentally, against the decision of the UN. Not a murmur came from you whenever the legionnaires in their spiked helmets casually opened fire upon our citizens from behind the walls. Your hearts bled when Berlin came under siege. You rushed your airlift to save the gallant Berliners, but you did not send 1 ounce of food when Jews starved in besieged Jerusalem. You thundered against the wall which the East Germans ran through the middle of the German capital, but not one peep out of you about that other wall, the one that tore through the heart of Jerusalem. And when that same thing happened 20 years later, and the Arabs unleashed a savage, unprovoked bombardment of the holy city again, did any of you do anything? The only time you came to life was when the city was at last reunited. Then you wrung your hands and spoke loftily of justice and need for the Christian quality of turning the other cheek. The truth, and you know it deep inside your gut, you would prefer the city to be destroyed rather than have it governed by Jews. No matter how diplomatically you phrase it, the age-old prejudices seep out of every word. If our return to the city has tied your theology in knots, perhaps you had better re-examine your catechisms. After what we have been through, we are not passively going to accommodate ourselves to the twisted idea that we are to suffer eternal homelessness until we accept your Savior. For the first time since the year 70, there is now complete religious freedom for all in Jerusalem. For the first time since the Romans put a torch to the temple, everyone has equal rights. You prefer to have some more equal than others. We loathe the sword, but it was you who forced us to take it up. We crave peace, but we are not going back to the peace of 1948 as you would like us to. We are home. It has a lovely sound for a nation you have willed to wander over the face of the globe. We are not leaving. We are redeeming the pledge made by our forefathers. Jerusalem is being rebuilt next year and the year after and after and after until the end of time in Jerusalem. That's a letter by Stanley Goldfoot, the founder, editor of the Times of Israel from 1949. It is quite strong. And just before we continue, we're going to have a break in a moment, but we're going to tell you our Hebrew word of the day today is...
Sakranut. What's sakranut? Do you know what sakranut?
I know what it is. It's curiosity.
Yes, it is. Curiosity, which is an emotional related to natural inquisitive behavior, such as exploration, investigation, and learning, evident by observation in human and many animal species. And the term can also be used to denote the behavior itself being caused by the emotion of curiosity. As the emotion represents a drive to know new things, curiosity is the fuel of science and all other disciplines of human study.
We're going to go out for a break, and we're going to have you listen to a little bit of a song called Jerusalem by the all-women's band in Israel called Tofa'ah.
WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
Will Sarah Palin head a third political party in 2012? I'm Bill O'Reilly. The Talking Points memo is next.
Is your computer running slowly? Thinking about buying a new one? Don't waste your money. Your computer could be infected with spyware, malware, viruses, registry errors, spam, and pop-ups. You don't need to buy a new computer. Just go to DoubleMySpeed.com and find out what's slowing your computer down.
Double My Speed totally cleaned up my system and increased my speed.
DoubleMySpeed.com increased the speed of my computer from the very first day.
My computer was on its last leg. Now it's like new again.
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com and keep your computer running fast. Your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com is easy and fast.
It's the best you could ask for. Outstanding, and my computer is running faster than ever.
Find out what is slowing down your computer with a free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com. Don't waste your time with your slow computer. Get your free diagnosis now at DoubleMySpeed.com. That's DoubleMySpeed.com.
Talking Point spent some time with Sarah Palin this week interviewing her for the O'Reilly Factor. I came away from the experience believing that Governor Palin wants to run for president. But it will not be on the Republican ticket. Establishment GOP leaders see Mrs. Palin as too inexperienced, too volatile, and with her approval rating at just 23%, according to a new CBS poll, I don't believe the Republican fat cats will back her. But 37% of the American public remain undecided about the governor, so there's potential for a third-party run, and I think it might happen. Ross Perot did it, and there's no reason the charismatic Palin can't duplicate the effort. There is no question that such a run would gravely damage Republican chances of defeating Barack Obama. But hey, that's politics. Sarah Palin wants to start a movement, and she just might. That's the memo. I'm Bill O'Reilly on Westwood One.
It doesn't matter if you're 22 or 62, whether you're trying to figure out how to pay off a student loan or how you're going to pay for retirement. Maybe you're a parent trying to provide for your family, struggling to pay the bills on time. The tough economy is affecting all of us, and it can be overwhelming. There's no need to fight the battle alone. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling wants you to know there is help available for whatever kind of debt problem you're facing. The NFCC is a nonprofit organization with more than 50 years of experience. Certified counselors in your area can help you take the first step in getting a grip on your finances. And they can help create a personalized plan and show you how to make educated decisions about your financial future. You are not alone. Let the NFCC help get you started. Call them at 800-388-2227 or visit debtadvice.org. That's 800-388-2227 or visit debtadvice.org. This has been a public service from the NFCC.
We're the station with news and talk around the clock. 1590 WSMN.
We're back with Israel is Real on WSMN 1590 Nashua's News and Talk. We're your hosts, Rachel
and Sonia,
and we're two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Please visit our website at www.israelisreal.weebly.com, israelisreal.weebly.com, where you can hear archived shows, listen to our music that we play, and also learn more about our incredible guests, who have been really amazing. You can send us your feedback, and most importantly, you can find out how to help us, because we do stay on the air because of your support. Donations, advertisements, keep them coming. Today we're having our phone lines open, so if you do feel like calling and chatting with us, the number is 603-816-1590, 603-816-1590. Another word from a sponsor, Vern Main. Countries depend for much of their success and security on their intellectual prowess and advanced technology. Many companies from here and abroad depend on the patent attorneys at Vern Main and Associates to obtain U.S. or global patent protection for their new ideas. Vern Main and Associates is an intellectual property law firm right here in Nashua. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters, contact the legal specialists at Vern Main and Associates at their offices on 100 Main Street in Nashua or on the web at vernmain.com. That's www.vernmaine.com, vernmain.com. Well, today we're talking with our guests, Rachel
and Sonia.
For a change, we've spent an incredible 2 months having really amazing guests, as we said, and today it's Rachel and Sonia. So we have received some feedback and some questions were asked about who we are, what we do, what we think, and we're going to address some of those questions today that you have sent us in. This one comes in from Priscilla, sometimes known as Blondie. How are you doing out there, Priscilla Blondie? She asks her first question. What was the reason for your first visit to Israel? Sonia, feel like answering?
Yes. Well, I never came to Israel and visit. I just came to stay. I made an aliyah from one of the Eastern Europe countries, so wasn't a question to come and visit and to see how is the land, you know. And besides, I was a child, so I came with my parents. I couldn't decide.
It wasn't your decision.
No, it wasn't my decision, but either way, we just came, we made Aliyah, we put ourselves together and
you
came to Israel.
Relocated.
Yes.
In essence, yeah. I actually did come for a visit. I was also, I think, older than you, probably, but I was still a teenager. Actually, no, I wasn't. I was just beginning in my 20s.
You have been young and beautiful.
Definitely. Definitely. Like today, right?
Hey, today we are just beautiful.
Not young and beautiful, right?
But beautiful.
But beautiful still. Well, I came to Israel because actually my mother had been living there. She'd been living there since just after the 67 war.
This is amazing. This is really amazing that your mother have been living in Israel and you came to see her.
I did. And she's still living there, by the way. So I came actually for what was to be a 3-month visit. And after 3 months, my plan was to go to Europe and see Europe, which I did. And after that, I was going to return to America. But at that time, if you can remember, that was 1976, actually. The airlines actually had special deals on tickets. And I had what was called an open-ended year-long ticket. And I could stay away for a whole year. And after that year is when my ticket would be expire. So I went to Israel for 3 months and then went to Europe for 3 months. And then I realized that, well, I have 6 more months on my ticket. So, well, I kind of looked America, Israel, Europe. I was having a good time. I said, hey, I'll just go back to Israel and use up the other 6 months of my ticket. And that 6 months turned into 22 years.
The longest half year that you have had in your life.
It zipped by, though, I'll tell you. 22 years zipped by, too. So, Priscilla Blondie asks, what was your reaction to this new culture?
Oh, this is so interesting. A lot of colors, a lot of curiosity that I feel. Everyone was so colorful.
What do you mean by that?
You know, in the air, in the time that we are speaking more or less in the same period of time.
I'm in the speaking early
about, 70s. Yes, I'm speaking about 1974, the end of 1974 when I made Dalia. And I came from a place that people used to wear what they could find outside, and outside you couldn't find a lot. So it was black or a mousy color or a greenish something that you didn't like or a reddish that you didn't like as well.
And Mahav everyone... Dill, it sounds a little bit like Boston. Very conservative.
I don't know if it was Boston, but I can tell you only that the colors have been very, very upsetting. And then when I came to Israel, I suddenly saw that people are actually find out more in the palate. You know, you have much more in your plate that you can actually eat.
So you're talking about actually the colors that people were wearing, the fashions, the styles.
The opening that they are showing a lot of open style and they are speaking with you. And actually, nobody is afraid to put red or blue or white or yellow or you mm-hmm. name it, you know. Doesn't matter if it's nice or not for your mind or you like it, but it's nice to see the diversity of colors outside.
I have to say that when I go back to Israel, because it's very influenced by all over the world, the fashions, the styles, the cultures. It's really multicultural. And when I go back there, I'm just enthralled by the fashions that I see. It's so stylish.
Right.
Very stylish. When I first went there, I think I was mostly intrigued by the landscape and the diversity of the cultures, like you were saying, but not necessarily by the colors, but although it was colorful. But I think by the variety of people that I was seeing that I wasn't accustomed to seeing here in America. Although these days, in a place like New York, Los Angeles, in a big city, you can also see this kind of diversity, multicultural diversity. But having grown up in a small town in Massachusetts, I wasn't accustomed to seeing that kind of diversity of in people. And hearing all sorts of languages spoken.
And this is part of the colorful street that I'm thinking and I'm speaking about. It's not only what you are wearing, it's what you are saying. And to see an Indian sari.
Yeah.
It was something very normal in Israel to see Jewish Indians wearing the sari. And, you are looking and you are saying, it's not a movie.
Right.
It's the reality.
It's the reality. You've got people from Yemenite yes. Jews. You've got people from Morocco.
From all over the places.
Yeah, everywhere. And they're wearing their traditional colors and costumes back then anyway, and even today they still do. You have the Arab population, the Israeli Arabs there, who some are more religious than others, some wearing keffiyehs, some wearing long jalabiyas and things, long
robes.
And it's not something that we were really accustomed to seeing, and that hit me. The land is just incredible. I think the landscapes, you can go, it's not that big a country, the size of, they say, Rhode Island, New Jersey. And within that small space, you have trees and forests up in north that look a lot like New Hampshire.
Right.
And then you go down south and you've got desert, like much like Arizona, kind of.
Yeah.
And then you've got to the west and the east, you've got seas, you've got one big huge lake, the Lake Kinneret. And it's just so diverse. Also physically, geographically, that it wasn't something that I was accustomed to seeing where I lived, such diversity in landscape, in geography.
And also because the country, it's so small, everyone knows exactly about what you are speaking. Doesn't matter if you are coming from north or from south. The news are the same news. Whatever, it's hurting me, it's hurting you. And we are very diverse, but we are very united,
right,
behind our ideal about what it's seems to be important for everyone in day by day life. So it's nice. It's
yeah.
really very hard to explain, but to live it, it's a continued curiosity. It's exactly to be curious day by day and think, oh, I just see something else. And it's taking you a lot of time to process what you are seeing,
right,
and actually how to understand it, because it is a big process between seeing, between learning, and between living it.
Yes, I think, I don't know about you, but I think that I spent a lot of time just wandering around. In the beginning, I was intrigued by the old city, which...
In Jerusalem?
In Jerusalem, yeah. I was living in Jerusalem, and it just intrigued me. There was the ancient walls, the ancient stones. It still looks much like it did in ancient times, although I didn't live back then, but I can imagine. And I don't know. It was, again, those are things that you don't see, and it inspires curiosity. And I think I spent a lot of time observing, just looking around, taking it in, and trying to figure out, what is this strange place? Where is this place that I have landed in right now? And that probably inspired me to stay on.
And what's this strange language that
and
we
what's
are
a strange
listening?
Language? Many languages. What are all these languages
I'm
hearing?
But I think that the strike was Hebrew.
Yeah, that right?
Right.
And the of the Arabic, right?
So, actually, not the Arabic. It's from the you from are the letters that you need to say from the deep of your
different sounds.
Exactly.
Polly, Priscilla, Blondie is still asking questions, and she's asking, "What are the three things that you find most different than the culture you came from?" I think we've kind of talked about that, but do you have anything to add?
Again, it is the way that the Israelis are opening, and they are open. They are telling you straight ahead what they have to say. Either you are asking their opinion or no, they will tell you.
Yeah, I can account for that.
And this is something that I think that for the American people, it's hard to understand, but somebody can, a friend of you will say, "You look horrible. Did you took a good look today in your mirror?" And
I can tell you, I went to the hairdresser just to get my hair cut, and for years they were saying, you know, I was starting to get gray, and they were saying, "You know, we could color your hair. You'd look so much better." I'd say, "Thanks, but I like the natural look." And every time I'd go, they convinced me that I had to color my hair, and they had a new great hairstyle that they could make me look great. And when I had my one of my children, and that child was a little bit chubby, and I remember someone coming up and looking at my child in the stroller saying, "That child is too fat, too fat. You gotta put that child on a diet." You know, who asked you?
This is my opinion.
But this is the thing that I love about that. You know, that it's very different from here, where people are very conscious not to invade your space, not to say something that might insult you or talk about anything too personal. And almost, you know, what people are arguing about today about being politically correct, it's not there. And I love that about being there. It's honest. They say what they think.
This is part of the part of the beauty of our culture. And it also can be very unpleasant. Sometimes it's nice. Sometimes I'm sure that you didn't like that somebody told you that the child needs to be in diet because the child is about 8 months old.
Right. But the other thing I just want to say, we're going to cut for a break. But the other thing was that everywhere I looked were Jews. And suddenly I found myself in the company of just Jews. And that was something new that I hadn't experienced. That was a very good feeling.
Right.
We're hearing the music starting to bring us out to the break. This is the song, again, by Tofa'ah and all women's Jewish band in Israel, called Returning.
Why?
1590 WSMN.
And WSMNradio.com.
Check out what you can now afford to drive at GetAutosNH.com. Search the inventories of local dealerships for both new and used cars, find vehicles within your monthly budget, and make an online offer to buy. That's GetAutosNH.com, the Telegraph's auto website. Local dealers are ready to help you find the vehicle that is a perfect fit for you and your budget. Check out what you can now afford to drive at GetAutosNH.com. GetAutosNH.com, GetAutosNH.com. Search local, buy local.
This week on The Talking Money Show with Ed Benway from the Measured Wealth Private Client Group, Ed will be joined with Richard Gans, who's the president of Fixed Income Management Group, to share his 35 years of experience in the bond market. Richard has been featured in publications such as The Wall Street Journal, Business Week, and The New York Times. That's this week on The Talking Money Show here on the Talking Money Radio Network.
Listen to The Talking Money Radio Show every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on WSMN 1590 AM, Nashua's news and talk radio station.
The following message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Mom was just diagnosed with diabetes. She's worried, and I'm worried.
My doctor told me I'm at risk for type 2 diabetes, just like my sister.
Dad told me that his father died of diabetes.
Everyone in my family needs to lose some weight. Does that put us at risk for diabetes?
You've just heard a few of the many voices of diabetes. Sound like someone in your family? If so, it's important to know that if diabetes runs in your family, you could be at risk too. The National Diabetes Education Program has free information to help you prevent type 2 diabetes. Call 1-888-693-NDEP or click yourdiabetesinfo.org.
One call.
One click.
Find out if your family's history of diabetes puts you at risk. Call 1-888-693-NDEP or click yourdiabetesinfo.org.
The National Diabetes Education Program, your source for free diabetes information.
The recession may tempt people to think they can get by without insurance, but what if your paycheck disappeared because of a disability and not a pink slip? Could you make ends meet without disability insurance? Life Foundation spokesman Anthony Domino.
People need an insurance safety net now more than ever, particularly with their savings and investments affected by the economic crisis. A disability is perhaps a greater threat than you losing your job.
If you and your family depend on a paycheck, you need disability insurance to pay for the essentials.
Things like rent or mortgage, groceries, automobile payments, gas, etc.
About one in three Americans will become disabled and unable to work for longer than 90 days at some point in their career. Don't underestimate your need for disability insurance.
Most people certainly need to think about the financial consequences of not having adequate income protection.
Especially now, to make sure you're covered, speak to your benefits manager at work or a local insurance professional. A message from the nonprofit Life Foundation.
Live local talk just for Nashua and just right here. Weekday mornings on 1590 WSMN.
We're back with Israel is Real on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. We're your hosts, Raquel
and Sonia.
Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. We want to remind you again to visit our website where you can hear the archived shows, listen to our music, the beautiful music that we play for you on each show. You can learn about our guests, and you can also send us your feedback. And more importantly, you can find out how to help us stay on the air with your donations, advertisements. It's your support that keeps us going. You can visit our website at www.israelisreal.weebly.com. Israelisreal.weebly, W-E-E-B-L-Y.com. Everybody says, what's Weebly? Weebly is simply the owner of the site that we're on. And you can email us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com. israelisreal1590@gmail.com. Again, the phones are open today, and I think you're asleep out there. I don't know. Or maybe you got insulted. I don't know. I hope not. We're very, you know, straightforward, straight-speaking Israelis. But we do want to hear from you. So that's 603-816-1590. 1590-603-816-1590. Another word from a sponsor.
Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel and informs you of how its technical advances personally benefit you? Did you know Israel researchers developed a heart pump that saves the lives of people with congestive heart failure? To receive Vision's email alert and be informed about Vision's educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision's website at www.newhampshireforisrael.org. That's www.nh4israel.org.
Thank you, Sonia. Thank you, Vision. Thank you, vernmaine.com, vernmaine.com, our intellectual property attorney. And we're continuing to talk to us.
About us.
About us. We have another question. Today we're, you know, we want to thank Priscilla, also known as Blondie, for these questions, because actually we've spent a lot of time, and she asked only 6 or 7 questions, but they've been pretty good questions. So thank you, Priscilla Blondie. If you're out there, you can see us. Thank you. So one of the questions that she asked was, would you go back to Israel to live, and why?
Well, because Israel is my home. It's my home. And it is the place that I'm living completely and fully about what I am, and I am a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very short and very simple.
Simple answer, simple question. Yeah, I have the same similar answer. I'm an American and also now an Israeli. I already have my mother. I have relatives there. My daughter is living there now. And I'm kind of already planning on going back. I thought I'd be back there this year, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. But I was delayed. I'm waiting for my son to finish school. And hopefully we'll all be going back soon. And again, the reason why, as Sonia said, it is my home. As a Jew, it's my home. It's, as I said, even though I grew up here, I was born here, raised here, I lived here till I was at least 21 in America. But as a Jew, sometimes you feel like you're a guest here. I don't think it's meant to be that way. But sometimes you just feel as if you're kind of a guest. So in Israel, I do feel more whole and more complete.
And you cannot agree with everything.
Right, right.
And still stay in good relations.
Right. You don't have to agree. You can agree to disagree, but...
Even not in politics.
Right, that's right. And that's the fun of it. That's the fun of being in Israel. Yeah. The question is, what do you miss most about Israel? The arguments, right? The debates.
Yes. Actually, yes. The chutzpah that you are seeing in the base of everyday base, you know, I don't know how to...
In everyday life.
Yeah. But I really miss the entire atmosphere when we are going to holidays. Everyone and each of us are doing the same. You know, it's okay if it's Hanukkah, which will be in 3 weeks. Everyone's eating donuts.
Right.
Or, you know, the latkes potato. And that's it. It's clear that everyone is start doing the... I'm not speaking about sufganiyot, about the donuts, that it's a little bit...
Sufganiyot, yeah. Jelly donuts.
Yes,
yeah.
It's a little bit tricky to do, but you are going and you are bringing from the, you know, from supermarket or conditoria or whatever. But I'm speaking about the entire atmosphere, the smell that you are feeling in the air. And
I think I miss... the food. I think when I went back after I'd been back here for a while, when I went back, the first thing I wanted to do was go to Seema's over there on Agrippa Street in Jerusalem. Middle Eastern food, I just absolutely love it. It's the thing that seems to be the most healthy in my body.
And simple and good.
And simple and good.
And fresh.
And fresh, yeah, fresh.
You can feel the freshness in,
right.
in your nose.
The my favorite food, orz veshuit, rice and beans.
Yeah.
But I love it. I love it. I really do. The other thing that I miss is I think my friends, I have some very good friends there, and they're friends for life, you know. They're wherever they are. And today, some of them are scattered all around the globe still, but we're still in contact. And I am a musician, and here it's very difficult for me to make a living and be the musician that I am. And in Israel, that's all I did. All my friends were musicians, and we just played music, and we loved to play music with each other. I could earn a living, could you believe it, as a musician? And I miss that. And I also do miss the honest and straightforwardness, the honesty that's there, even though sometimes it's not always pleasant, but I do miss it. I do miss it.
Like I told you before, that one of my former students in high school in the 11th grade, I came in the class and he suddenly said, "Your hair, the color of your hair, it's beautiful. It's very nice fitting you."
How old was he?
And he was 17.
Uh-huh.
And I was around 40.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to... And I said, okay, it's not part of our discussion today. And he said, right, but it's nice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is the way that it's going on. This is something that nobody here in the United States will have it being a teacher, and no one from the kids will say it to a teacher. So
Right. Also, we have another question. What did you miss? What do you miss
it's
the least?
It's easy. The khamsin.
Khamsin, yeah. Khamsin was pretty awful. What is khamsin?
Oh, it's those long days, dry days from the desert that are coming with fine dust from the desert,
yeah.
And it are going into your nose and eyes and everywhere, and you are unable almost to breathe, and you just need to wait.
And then
when
it breaks and it rains,
oh.
And then we have a mud storm.
Yes.
You go out in the rain and you get mudded.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A yellow mud.
Yeah, I definitely don't miss that. And the other, what I don't miss, terrorism. I mean, you know, put it bluntly,
yes.
You know, Israel has been riddled with terrorism for over 60 years. And so that adds an extra tension to living there. And there's an ongoing hostility from our neighbors. And I don't miss that at all, I can tell you. I certainly do not miss that.
Right.
I hope one day we'll have peace. George, we'd like to introduce George, our sound man. And George,
hi, how are you?
I can't say your last name.
Papoulias.
Papoulias, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good Irish name.
George has a question.
Well, I thought that it's actually an Israeli name.
You never know, yeah. With Thanksgiving coming up in 6 days, I was wondering if and how Thanksgiving is celebrated in Israel. I came across an article of somebody from this country that spent the last 3 years in Israel, and it seems like it's starting to catch on there as far as the Thanksgiving traditions go that we have here. So I'd like to know how that's celebrated in Israel, or if it is at all.
Well, George, thanks for that question. And by the way, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Yeah. I think that Thanksgiving is, for the most part, an American holiday. And so it's not really something that is celebrated in Israel, except amongst American citizens who, you know, for the most part, and any Israelis who take an interest in that. And I will tell you that Israelis love to party. So they're going to jump on that if they have a chance to have a good meal and to have a celebration. They're certainly going to take part. But I know that my family and my friends, not all of them, but when Thanksgiving would come around, would acknowledge that and celebrate that as sort of a get-together. There are some American organizations there, like the Americans and Canadians for Israel, I forget what it's called, the ACI, and some other organizations today that are bringing that more into the forefront for some of the soldiers who are still American citizens as well.
Yep.
And Yeah, it does get observed, but mostly among the American population, I'd say.
Yeah. There's also very quickly the American Jewish Committee, which hosts a Thanksgiving dinner for about 40 soldiers from the for the U.S. Troops who are serving in the Israeli Defense Forces.
Yeah, so and great. I would say that there's an organization called StandForIsrael.org, I think, or .com, Stand for Israel. And they're doing actually starting a donut run, a donut fundraiser. So if you want to support Israeli soldiers and have them celebrate Hanukkah that's coming up and help them get some donuts there, then go to StandForIsrael.org, I think it is, and register to sponsor a donut for a soldier. We're coming to the end of the show. Can you believe it?
Yes. And as the sun sets in Israel, we welcome Shabbat, the Sabbath day. Our Torah portion is Toldot from Genesis. And this week's Torah portion, we see many examples of concept of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Levanim, the action of the forefathers paved the way for their descendants. Through this concept, generation later, we can attempt to derive the appropriate behavior for all of our endeavors. On two prior occasions, the Torah tells us about Abraham traveling to a foreign land and telling the king that Sarah was his sister. Abraham feared that he would be killed so that the king could take Sarah as a wife. On both occasions, the king discovered the truth about Abraham and Sarah's relations, once expelling Abraham from the land and once letting him settle in his land. Shabbat Shalom from Israel is Real.
We are Israel is Real, Rachel and Sonia, two Israelis putting a human face on everything Israel. Please visit our website, again, israelisreal.weebly.com, israelisreal.weebly.com. And you can always hear us every Friday from 9 to 10 in the morning Eastern Standard Time at wsmnradio.com, WSMN 1590 Nashua's News and Talk. Shabbat Shalom from Israel is Real.
And we do not have a show the next week.
Right, no show next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Connecting you to the news of the day.
Because communication is the beginning of understanding.
1590 WSMN Nashua.